they were actually going to dismiss directly to Children's Church this morning, so I don't have anything prepared, but I was not going to skip this opportunity. This is incredible. Come on up here, buddy. Wow. Okay. You guys help me up, okay? How's this? Wow, I like this. You know what? I'm going to open up a little conversation here, and let's just see. You got your finger on the mute button back there? What is your favorite thing about church or Sunday school? Right here.
You get to learn about God and Jesus.
Getting to know about God and Jesus. Right here. It's okay, hon. We'll come back to you. Yeah.
Learning the stories of the Bible.
Learning the stories of the Bible. Right here.
By seeing Jesus.
And praising Jesus. All right. Way up top.
Learning about him.
Singing. Singing. Okay. Well, you got something?
Going to children's church.
Right here.
Singing songs about him.
Singing songs?
About him.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh, wait a minute. Right here. What do you got? To do praise? That's cool. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, how about you?
Saying you get up.
Yeah. We're going to witness a live resurrection. What if I were to ask that question? Would we all be as enthusiastic as they are? Praise God for that. Praise God. You know what, guys? I really want to thank you because you've helped me. You've encouraged me this morning because of your love. Everything you said was exciting. You look forward to coming so you can do these things, don't you? So I pray that we all, everyone here today, has that same enthusiasm, that excitement, okay, that we get to come and we get to learn more about Jesus, we get to sing praises, we get to learn the Bible story, we get to go to, you go to children's church, we go to church. Wow, this is a pretty cool day, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pretty cool day. Well, thank you all for helping us this morning, okay? You helped all of us to understand what coming to church is all about. And I want to thank every one of you for that. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you that you're worthy of excitement. You're worthy, Father, of enthusiasm. You deserve, you're worthy of all of our passion. Father, all of our energy, we pour it into our relationship with you so that you can pour yourself out of us. And I thank you for these kids, Father, the brightness that they bring to our lives, to our church service, the knowledge, the enthusiasm, everything that they have, Father, may we just pay close attention, and may we learn from these children. Thank you for them. In Jesus' name, all of God's kids said,
goodbye, Papa.
What?
Goodbye, Papa.
We'll see you later. See you later, Ty.
Goodbye.
I was groaning inside when I got up, but I wasn't about to let you hear it. Wasn't that cool? Just that sweetheart followed me up here. Oh, my land. Oh. Well, I want to give a special thanks to the breakfast crew this morning, coming in the dark and enduring until the lights come on. And I think everybody that showed up after that had a very fine breakfast. I know I did. I had my favorite mush and sausage sandwich. And Fried mush, right, Wilbur? Yeah, love it. Love it. And I asked Frank. I said, Frank, you know, I don't understand the problem. You're an electrician. Where's the power? And, you know, we both kind of ended up on a sermon point. You got to have a source. You got to have a source. If there isn't any power at the pole, there's not going to be any power in the house. And I thought, well, that old illustration of being a conduit. Now, I don't think we ought to try to be a conduit for AC. That's not good. But we can be a conduit for JC. Amen? Amen. Nothing coming in, nothing going out. There's an illustration for us as Christians. If we ain't got it coming in, we won't have it going out. And that defeats the purpose for our existence as followers of Jesus Christ. Well, this morning, also, Grace 101. We started this morning, but kind of a small group. I know we have others who have signed up. So we just kind of did a get to know you and went over some very introductory basics. So please, if you would like to learn more about the church, you know, primarily our focus is what do we believe and why we believe it. So our doctrinal statements, our position on certain issues, just kind of an overview of the church and polity. So come on up. We're meeting above the new kitchen in the fellowship hall there. I don't remember the room number, but there's two classrooms, so if you go up the stairs, it's the one directly in front of you, right next to Frank and his class. So Grace 101 will continue next week, 9 a.m., and it's going to be a good time. Good time just kind of learn, get to know one another. We are going to continue our series in Ephesians today, continuing our walk. And I think as a way of introduction, I want us to understand that walking is a journey. It's a journey going somewhere. So the first thing we want to make sure of is, do we know our destination? Are we traveling in the right direction? Are we really walking with Christ, walking in Christ? And remember that walk is simply another way of saying live. Our walk is the life that we live. Our walk is our testimony and our witness to our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In our last message from Ephesians, we looked at what it means to walk in purity. And today we'll examine three more aspects of our walk or life in Christ. I want to read this brief paragraph from Tony Evans. And he writes, walking is an excellent metaphor for the Christian life for a number of reasons. First, it is continuous. You don't take one step and then say that you have walked. It's an apt metaphor for an ongoing nature of living. Second, walking reflects dependence. You have to put one foot after the other, and you have to put all your weight on that one foot for that one step. So it's movement in dependence. Third, it's progressive. Walking requires one step after another, one step after another, because it always has a destination in mind. You walk because you are going somewhere. Guess where you are going in the Christian life? You are walking in accordance with God's program, advancing God's kingdom with your life. When you have that orientation, that mindset for living, you are moving in the will of God and growing in your spiritual maturity and kingdom usefulness. Wise words from Dr. Evans. Let's stand at the reading of the Word of God this morning. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Remember, the theme is our walk. And I don't even know that I've mentioned this in this series, but I certainly mentioned it multiple times in the past. I think the book is still in print. I'm not 100% sure. But a little book by Watchman Nee. If you've never read any of Watchman Nee's stuff, I encourage you to do so. But Watchman Nee wrote a book called Sit, Walk, Stand. And it's a book following the pattern that is set forth in Ephesians. not very big, one of the first books I read as a new believer, and it stayed with me all these years. Know where you're seated, know how to walk, be prepared to stand. Reading from Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 17. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity of covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral and impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in the secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully, then, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, and it is your word given to us. We pray that we will listen carefully to what you have for us today, that these powerful words of truth will be embedded in our hearts, transforming our lives, molding us and making us into the people that you desire us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Therefore, obviously, we note that transition is found multiple times throughout Scripture. Therefore is always a critical transition. Paul is building one block upon another. So in light of what he just said in chapter 4, well, 3, 2, and 1, but specifically in chapter 4, what he has just said, he's now continuing with a result that appears in chapter 5. So chapter 5 continues a whole theme of life as a Christian, but it actually begins back in chapter 4. And this is where we have to be reminded that in the original text, when this letter was penned to the people at Ephesus and therefore handed down to us, it did not have chapter and verse. It was simply a continuous thought as Paul wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So let's put this all together, but let's back up just a little bit in the chapter 4, where Paul says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Now, didn't that sound better than breaking for chapter 5? Doesn't it make sense now? See, it's one continuous theme. And it all goes back to this forgiveness issue. Forgiveness comes as an expression of ultimate love. God's ultimate expression of love to us was to provide Christ as a sacrifice for our sins so that we could be forgiven. For God so loved the world, right? So that expression was lived out through Christ. And so that brings us to our first point, which we would say we cannot imitate God without forgiving one another. We cannot. We cannot imitate. We can't forgive or excuse me, we cannot imitate without forgiveness. Folks, you cannot hold unforgiveness in your heart. We cannot hold bitterness in our heart. We cannot harbor anger in our heart towards another believer and be imitating God. That's impossible. It's conflicting. It doesn't work. So the first point that we come to is very simple. We must walk in love. If we are truly to live out our Christian lives, we must walk in love as imitators of God. The word imitate can also mean mimic. Whatever we see in Christ, people should see in us. We mimic Christ. All the life principles we have in Scripture are important, but I would say this one stands out. If we don't love, then there isn't any use in going on to any other life principles in the Christian life. We must love each other. By this all people, John says, will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We are children of God and should reflect the nature of our Father. How many of us have seen our children imitate us, mimic us? In some way, in some fashion. Oscar Wilde said, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Maybe, maybe not. It depends on what kind of an example we're setting, doesn't it? But listen to what Scripture says. 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Wow! That's powerful. And so what is the result of imitating God and walking in love? Remember 4:32, we will be kind to one another and tender-hearted, and will forgive one another as God in Christ forgave us. And it all begins and flows from our love for Christ. If imitation is the highest form of flattery, then imitating Christ is our highest expression of love for him. If we are truly to live out our Christian lives, we must walk in light. We must walk in light. Now, reading from our text, therefore, do not become partners with them, people of the darkness, for at one time you were darkness. Now, we're going to come back to that in just a little bit. But it doesn't say you were in darkness. You were darkness. Since God is light and we are imitating him, we should walk in the light. Again, from 1 John, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Brothers and sisters, that's critical. Walking in love, walking in light, is the key to the forgiveness of sins. Do we see that? Believing in who Christ is, knowing what Christ has done for us, understanding, at least within our finite minds, understanding the magnitude of the gift of God that come by grace and mercy, that he would even love us that much. How many of us have deserved any degree of love from the Father? Yet he loves us unconditionally and without limit. And we had no idea what love is until we understood his love. Brothers and sisters, friends, listen to me very carefully at this point. Listen to me carefully. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you don't know what love is. Now that sounds pretty hard, but it's true. God is love. And without knowing the Father, which involves knowing the Son, then you never really know what love is. What a tragedy. What a tragedy to go through life and never really knowing what true love is. Please don't allow that to continue if you're here today and you've never confessed your sins and asked the forgiveness that comes through Christ and Christ alone. If you've never done that, please consider that by the prompting of the Holy Spirit this morning, that you come to know the love of the Father as expressed in His Son and provided for you, please, for the glory of Jesus. Walking in the light. Peter chimes in on this when he wrote, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passion of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." You see, we are saints. We are set apart. We are light because Christ is our lives. In an episode of America's Got Talent, I believe it was, I'm sure it was, there was a young girl, you know, 10, 11 years old, maybe a little younger, who sang a special. And at the end of that special, one of the judges remarked, he said, "I think Shirley Temple is living somewhere inside you." And the little girl said, "Not Shirley Temple, Jesus." Yeah, it happened. It happened. And back again to that verse that I mentioned earlier, verse 8. We got to understand what this says. "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light." That's huge. It isn't just a symptom. It isn't just a simple characteristic. It is the essence of who we are. We were once darkness. In our essence, our very existence consisted of darkness. But now in Christ, our essence is light. Everything about us is light because the Son of God, who is the light of the world, has illuminated us. And brothers and sisters, what you see here this morning is symptomatic of the reflection of that light. Just look. Come on, Spillman. No comment. That was a little spontaneous, I'm sorry. You know, you think of the Shekinah glory of God, you know. Well, please don't. I'm not His Shekinah glory. But you kind of get an idea of what that might look like someday. The reflection of His radiance. We better move on. A born-again Christian, as born-again Christians, we are not just in the light. We are the light. We are the light. Not because of something we have done, not because of our great achievements, not because of our great learning, but because we have been born again into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As light, we should reflect everything there is to reflect about Him. Jesus in John 12:46 says, "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." In Matthew 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give the glory to" who? "Your Father who is in heaven." Number 3, we are truly living out our lives as Christians when we walk in wisdom. when we walk in wisdom. Now the verse says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. So we could label this walk carefully or walk cautiously. But it's clear to me that the key to walking carefully and cautiously is to walk wisely. I got up this morning, and it was dark in the house. About 3:30, I rolled over to look at my clock, and it was dark. Okay? Some of you probably had a similar experience. So I got up, and I went down the hallway to look out across the landscape and see if there were lights anywhere. And there was not. So I stumbled and fumbled my way back to bed. And as I crawled into bed, Connie said, why didn't you get that flashlight? Wouldn't it have been easier? Now listen, I'm serious. I went out of the bedroom, and it was really dark. It was really dark. And I put my head out of bed, and I come out around the bed, and then I made my way over to the door, and you know how you feel for the posters of the door? You couldn't see anything. Well, then it went out, and we got a stairway going downstairs. It was a rail, so I had the rail to follow, you know, as I went down. Why didn't I just get the flashlight? And it occurred to me as I was thinking about that situation how sometimes we do forget when we're stumbling a little or fumbling a little. And we need to stop and ask for Christ to shine light on the situation. Shine light on the situation. Pray for wisdom. And you see what I'm saying? In circumstances in life, when we're facing difficulty or when we're going through a trial, sometimes we need to stop and say, Christ, I need you to illuminate this. I need to know how to navigate this part of my life. I need to know how to walk carefully and walk cautiously so as not to stumble or maybe even cause someone else to stumble. Christ, I need you to light the way. So we stop. We're cautious. We're careful. We use wisdom. And what's that mean? We ask for help. We ask for God's help. God, help me to make my way through and around these stumbling blocks. Help me not to get tripped up. Allow me, God, by the grace and mercy that you have extended, allow me, empower me to walk in the light of Christ. We walk in wisdom. The text literally means walk carefully. Walk with your eyes open, looking around. In other words, do not walk carelessly. Walk with a purpose in an intentional way. Walk with your destination always before you, heaven bound, glory bound, headed for home all the way, and not being distracted by all of these things that Satan's going to throw in our way or put around us to get us off course. There are no detours. There's a direct route. His name is Jesus. And that's how we walk in wisdom and light and love. Christians are not to aimlessly drift through life. Make the most of every day. The scripture says redeeming the time. That's one of my, believe it or not, that's one of my favorite little excerpts from scripture. And I know I've shared this, but I share it one more time. I have been guilty of being at a store. I always hate to use Walmart as an example. At a store waiting on Connie or something, you know, to finish shopping, and I'm just kind of milling around, and some polite helper, employee will come up and say, sir, can I help you? And every time I say it, I bite my tongue. No, I'm just killing time. Oh! That's not biblical. Do you hear me? We're not to kill time. We're not to waste time. We're to redeem the time. Redeem the time. Claim every moment for Christ. Do you understand how important this is? My passion begins to well up. But folks, we have limited time here on this earth. And there isn't one of us in this assembly this morning that knows what that is. It could be the very next moment. It could be on our way home today. It could be any time, any moment when we are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account for how we used our time. Redeem every moment. How many of you in here have been surprised by an untimely incident? The death of a loved one, a tragedy. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. And God forbid, but it happens too often too, when I hear the words, I wish I had a. I wish I had a. I wish I would have said this. I wish I'd have said that. I wish. It's too late. Live every moment, brothers and sisters. Live every moment for the fullest expression of the glory of God in our lives. Every moment is precious. Every breath is a gift. Every heartbeat is God's grace, allowing us to continue on this journey. Paul gives us several reasons, and we'll conclude with this, several reasons to live with such passion and purpose. Number one, in verse 15, he said, it's a mark of wisdom. Live wisely. It's a mark of wisdom. Fools drift with the wind and tide. Wise men mark their course. Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. You see, wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge. And if I may be so bold, I've met a lot of brilliant fools. They knew a lot, but had no practical application of anything. No common sense. Give me a little horse sense, and I'll take a pint of it over a gallon of wisdom. I'm sorry, I better be careful. Knowledge. I'll take that little bit of horse sense over a lot of knowledge. Life is short. Make the best use of it. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, opportunity has a forelock, so you can seize it when you meet it. Once it has passed, you can never seize it again. Our English word, opportunity, comes from the Latin, towards the port. Towards the port. It literally means, it describes a ship that is taking advantage of the wind and tide to arrive safely in the harbor. That's the Christian's journey. Paul gives us another reason for living with such passion. The days are evil. The days are evil. He says, living with passion, living with purpose is a mark of wisdom. It's a recognition that life is short, and it's a recognition that the days are evil. Darkness surrounds us. That darkness is our opportunity. We're not to run from the darkness. We're to crash into it. And that's why in these days, brothers and sisters, it's not time to build an encampment and raise the height of the walls around us. It's time to tear down everything and rush into the world. Rush into the world with the good news of the light of Jesus Christ, demonstrating his power in our lives. Darkness surrounds us. The darkness is our opportunity. Light exposes what is in the darkness, and we must not run from it, but burst forth into it. Fourthly, Paul says, God has given us a mind. Now, some of you are looking at someone across the way saying, hey, got shortchanged. No. And Paul does it in such a simple way. Understand the Lord's will. Understand the Lord's will. That's an attitude, that's the mind. Understanding, read the word, study the word, prayer, worship, meditation, and verses 1 and 2 of Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what his good and acceptable and perfect will is. Peter, again, says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God's given us a mind. Let's use it. Surrender it to him in the pursuance of his will, and use our minds. Lastly, God has a plan for our life. God has a plan for our life. We've been saved for a purpose. Not only ultimately saved for the glory of God, but saved for the purposes of God. Because we no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. And may I remind you, may we all be reminded, as we do weekly, actually, with our communion, be reminded of the price that was paid for that ownership. The Scripture says we have been bought with a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus. And remember, life is in the blood. Folks, our salvation cost God everything. It cost Jesus everything. Everything. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, and the life of the animal is in the blood, according to the Old Testament law. Jesus came as the Lamb to fulfill the covenants of the old law. He shed His life-giving blood so that we could be forgiven. Folks, there's only one rational, reasonable, spiritual, biblical response to that, and that's to fall on our faces before Christ and tell Him how much we love Him. That's the only reasonable response. Otherwise, we come to my second choice of titles. Otherwise, we're not imitating God. We're just a cheap knockoff. And I don't want to live my life that way. I read one time how many cargo containers are claimed at the ports full of knockoffs. You know, name brand, world renowned pair of shoes that cost $10,000, and the 29 cent ones are in the container. Brothers and sisters, we're not 29 cent knockoffs. We're 100% genuine, real McCoy, real thing, beloved children of God. And we need to demonstrate that in the way in which we live our lives. We've been saved for a purpose that is greater than us, designed by our Creator. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." That's a pretty simple way of ending it. You see, all that we are and all that we can be are found only in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the more we understand His love for us, the deeper our love for Him will grow. That's called relationship. Relationship. And it's more than a casual howdy do. Relationships are developed over time. And they're spent, and they grow, and they blossom in moments of intimacy, becoming one with Christ, one with the Father. That's the journey of the Christian, my friends. Walking in love, walking in light, walking in wisdom, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, for the power of these words. Lord, my prayer, my hope that I believe I share with so many here today is that we just fall in love with You more and more every moment. Because, Lord, that's where it all flows from. As we fall in love with You and realize more and more the depth and height and width of Your love for us, we'll simply want to be more like You in every way. Now, we can't do that on our own. We're weak. We're fragile. We are prone to fail. but by the power of your Spirit that dwells within us, and under the grace and mercy that you have extended to us, we're going to strive heavenly. We're going to set our things, our minds on things above, not on the things of this earth. We're going to look high. We're going to look high to where you are seated, Lord Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. We're going to keep our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. We're going to have our minds set on the things that you love. We're going to be concerned about the things that you are concerned over. We're going to love each other. We're going to love the lost. We're going to reach souls for Christ. And it all because you first loved us. I pray that we wrestle with that just a little bit. We wrestle with it. And we understand just how undeserving we were. And after we've wrestled with it, then we're going to embrace it. Because we know that it's true. So for all things, Father, we give thanks. We praise you. We lift high the name of Jesus. And may you be glorified in our lives as we go forth today. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Well, it really all comes down to this. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Have you come to him with a repentant heart that says, Lord, I know that I've sinned. I know that I am a sinner. But I also know that your grace is sufficient. That you love me so much that you were willing to suffer and die for me, a sinner. I come to you today, Lord, because I would like to have my sins washed away by your life-giving blood. And Jesus is going to touch you at that point. He really is. You may not feel it physically, but if you pray that prayer with a sincere heart, he's going to touch you. And you're going to know when the Lord Jesus Christ touches you. You're going to know. And in an instant, in a flash, in a wink, you will become a new creation. A new creation with a new purpose in life, a new reason for living. And you're going to walk differently. You're going to talk differently. You're going to have passions about things you never thought you had passions for. Folks, that's called the church. That's called the church. Living out our lives collectively for the glory of Christ. And it begins with each member, each person coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. May he have his way in our closing moments today.